And we are going to let the committee administrator tell us what's before us for the afternoon.
Mr. Chair, as a member of the committee, Senator Starr has handed out his agenda for tonight's Education Town Hall in Newburgh for your information. And then first up is a work session on possible introduction of bills. Senator Castillo has brought to us a bill draft that would direct the Department of Education to conduct annual statewide student career surveys. She might want to speak to that, and I believe she's invited some people from the Department of Education to say a few words.
That's right, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Please.
Thank you. Ron Dodge from the Department of Education is here, and were you prepared to say a few words? And Ron Dexter, that's right, Ron Dexter was going to come up and say a few words if you would. And basically, this is based on, we earlier in the interim had brought this to the Senate Education Interim Committee on Education, talking about a survey that we did of Lane County students about career choices. And we took our findings to the Department of Education, and when we shared the information and the results with them, realized that this fit really well with what we're trying to do with our implementation of CAM. And I don't know if you want to come up and say a few words about this or not, but so we thought we'd try to do this on a statewide basis and take a look at doing this. I've talked with the Oregon Business Council folks, and Duncan Wise has expressed an interest in this concept, and I'll be following up and working with them a little bit more about it as well. But
thank you. For the record, my name is Ron Dexter, Associate Superintendent, Office of Professional Technical Education at the Oregon Department of Education. And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I did not really see this language until today, so we've really not had an opportunity to review it. But I had a chance to talk with Kate Dixon, our deputy, and she said, we're supportive of the concept. We think this information is very valuable for schools to plan curriculum offerings that meet the educational goals of students. So I think we do have some, we would certainly have some questions about the department administering the survey statewide due to cost and so forth. But the concept, I think, is really an excellent one. And I think it just needs further review by our staff.
Thank you very much. Any questions? We'll have a open the work session on bill introduction.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Deckard.
I move we adopt as a committee bill LC 3153.
Senator Deckard has moved that we adopt as a committee bill Senate bill or LC 3153. I can hardly read that with my backwards. Any discussion? Any objections? Not so ordered. We will close the work session on the bill introduction, and we'll move on to the agenda. And first on the agenda is work session on Senate Bill 160. We'll open the work session on Senate Bill 160. And Jan, tell us where we are.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we first heard Senate Bill 160 a couple of weeks ago on the 16th, and this is the bill that would direct school districts to require students who participate in extracurricular sports in grades 7 to 12 to have a physical exam prior to participating in the sport. We have three amendments that have been suggested in their attached to the staff measure summary. Briefly, the first amendment came to us from Senator Courtney, and this would require that if a student had been diagnosed with a significant illness or had major surgery, to have a physical exam prior to further participation in sports. And the second amendment comes to us from the Oregon Medical Association, and they had testified that they would like to see the word protocol inserted in the bill. Wherever there's the word form, they would like to see the Department of Ed develop a protocol as well as the form for what would be included in a physical. and also give the Department of Ed the ability to develop rules for penalties for school districts who violate this section. And this last amendment isn't in LC form, but we've had it brought to us in LC form, and I'll hand it out. But it's the basic, same basic idea, and it comes to us from the Chiropractic Association of Oregon, and it would allow chiropractors to do these exams, and I'm going to pass that out now.
Thank you, Jan. We are in work session. Realize that the committee members did not get all of these amendments until just now. Are there questions regarding amendments? Senator Farioli.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to have a brief discussion of the amendment that offers to include licensed chiropractic physicians as medical practitioners who may do this assessment review, if I may.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fact is that the protocol and the discussion of physicians doing these necessary physical examinations is a result of, I think, three episodes in the recent past where students have actually had serious or fatal complications of participation in their sport. And that is a terrible tragedy. I think we need to address that with Senate Bill 160. But the fact is that thousands more injuries occur on the playing fields annually, and they are related to skeletal and muscular injuries. And a licensed chiropractic physician, I think, is capable of going through the protocol that we here discussed, and as capable of, as any other physician, at looking at musculoskeletal conformity in those students that would come before them for a physical examination, and fully capable of referring the student to a physician if they detect conditions that merit further examination. So I would argue for and move forward the SB 160-4 amendments that would include chiropractors, not only for the reasons that I indicated, because there's far more injuries, so pulls, strains, breaks, injuries to the skeletal system and the musculature than there are any other, but also because in some rural communities, the licensed chiropractor is the part of the an integral part of the medical care continuum, and they're fully capable of doing this work. So I'd like to move forward 160-4, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Farioli has moved the dash four amendments to Senate Bill 160. And is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I do have a question.
Yes.
I'm wondering if Senator Courtney, the chief sponsor of the bill, is he okay with all of the amendments that are before us on this bill? Are there any that he had concerns about, do we know? Or I have to talk to him about it. Just curious, since he's the chief sponsor.
Gosh, Mr. Chairman, do we get to add footnotes and say if there's any amendments to our bills we'd like to be involved? Because I've got some that went over to the other side. It's a courtesy, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the courtesy. I think that perhaps one best able to address that. I have, in fact, talked to Senator Courtney regarding the first of the amendments, but not the latter one, which we've just introduced as an amendment to the bill, the dash four. Can we We have that amendment was brought forward by the
Oregon Chiropractic Association.
And Larry Harvey was, I think, visiting the amendment, and he's not available at this point.
Mr. Chairman, if you'd like to, I'll withdraw my motion pending the consideration of the rest of the amendments if I have the your leave to bring it back later in the public work session.
I appreciate that. I'm not sure that we'll be further along later, but I, for one, am supportive of your motion, and I don't know how the rest of the committee feels, but we're we have the dash one. Would you go through those motions again, Jan, for me?
Mr. Chair, I don't seem to have a dash two and a dash three. I don't know. I pack it. Am I overlooking something?
Mr. Chair, Senator Fisher, there's no dash three. If you would check your staff measure summary, it should be all stapled together. We're trying to keep things.
All okay. Right. Yeah. One. Two. Three.
So again, the dash one amendment was offered by Senator Courtney, and what it would do is add a little section that would include that if the student had been diagnosed with a significant illness or had had major surgery, that they needed to go ahead and have another physical exam prior to further participation in the sport.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw my motion for the dash fours and move the dash one.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I like to proceed that way, and perhaps we'll have further discussion on that. Dash fours, then, Mr. Larry Harvey was considered testifying in another committee room, and perhaps we'll be through and can help us then.
That can happen, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Farioli has moved the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 160, withdrew the motion to move the dash four amendments at this point. Any further discussion on the dash one amendments? Any objection? The dash one amendment. Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
In conversation with you, I was under the impression that this was going to be reduced down to the physical form bill and not a yearly requirement bill or a two-yearly requirement. Am I misinformed or did I misunderstand?
I failed to convey I didn't communicate well with you, I guess. No, I didn't intend to suggest that it was going to be simplified that.
So we're still looking at a two-year requirement and a particular form of
a standard
physical.
That is correct.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
I have some real problems. I still don't have one single statistic. Not one. And I asked for statistics, and I was given eight pages of garbage again that was one over, that had been gone over the first day. I have absolutely no knowledge of one. If these professionals can't tell me, and a doctor can't tell me, how do they expect me to go back to my school district and tell them that I made an intelligent decision on this when I can't tell them one and I can't guess? If somebody's been 16 or 17 years in the sports medicine and he can't tell me that three people were killed died in 1999 in sports or 2000, whichever it was, and we know that one of them had a physical, and he can't even tell me if the physical was sufficient to show whether the kid had a problem or not, or if the kid had a problem, there was no way that a physical could show it. He doesn't even know that information. How in the world can I go back and justify something here just to do a feel-good bill? Not only that, my districts, a lot of the schools are doing physicals every year. Are we now going to make it to where they cut out and don't protect these kids year by year, there was absolutely not one statistic that showed us, from any of those people out there, whether some of these conditions could come in a six-month period of time, or if you had a two-year physical that they couldn't possibly occur between the next 2 years, or whether it was 1 year or maybe a six-month onset or anything like that. I'm just not prepared to go ahead and support this measure, and it's not that I wouldn't like to. And if they can come and tell me that they can save 5% of torn knee ligaments or 15% or of those three people that died in the last year, that even one of them might have been measurably have an opportunity to have a different outcome, it changes the whole ballpark. But I'm appalled that somebody would come in here and just ask us to do a feel-good bill of this magnitude on an education situation where everybody's coming down and wants every last stinking dollar they can get into a program. We just were told by a large margin by the people not to be handed down unfunded mandates. And any way you look at it, this is going to cost more in some ways. And we're giving a group here an opportunity to go ahead and do all kinds of punitive things and so forth to the schools if they don't comply. And I just have grave problems.
Appreciate that.
I can't think of one other thing we've asked OSHU for in the way of statistics that we haven't been able to get those statistics. I'm working on some bills right now, and you know, just like that, they've come down on the people up there, and this is not typical of their presentations.
We do have the OMA here and the OSAA here, but I don't see anyone from OHSU.
There is.
Would you come see if you can help us over a little hurdle here?
Well, my name is Dr. David Son. I spoke to you 2 weeks ago. I'm a professor of pediatrics, radiology, and obstetrics and gynecology at OSHU. I can't speak for OSHU, but I can tell you that in states that have dealt with this problem, other states, and the majority of them have, there are guidelines that are specifically recommended by the American Heart Association for athlete screening. Those states, by virtue of that screening, have been able to garnish the information related to the causes of sudden death, because there's a mechanism in place for the performance and reporting of the physical examinations and a mechanism in place for the follow-up. It's all part of a system. We don't have that system, and so we don't have the data. We don't know the number of injuries. We don't know the number of deaths in our own state. I can tell you that two of the sudden deaths that I was aware of in the last year occurred in children who had previously diagnosed heart conditions but were not under active follow-up. And the issue of active follow-up led to somebody forgetting about what they had. They were not under treatment and they were put at risk. So even in a situation where disease has been detected, it takes a periodic contact with a physician to bring out that follow-up is needed or recommendations for limited participation based on a medical condition are needed. So it's the difficulty in obtaining accurate information about the risks and the incidents in our state is a cart and a horse issue. The recommendation of every other year is derived from the American Heart Association's Committee on Sports Participation in documents that I think you were given, published in Circulation, which is the American Heart Association's premier journal. While it's sort of been tabled, the American Heart Association in fact recognized that in certain states a chiropractor might be the person performing this examination, and their recommendation was quite specific that in situations where an unlicensed physician, for instance a nurse practitioner physician's assistant or a chiropractor, a non-physician, were performing that examination, that that individual be tutored and brought up to speed related to the cardiovascular risk factors that needed to be necessary. And that's something that can occur with a limited amount of continuing medical education. I'm fully recognizing the fact that those individuals might be quite expert at detecting musculoskeletal issues for risk. So, Senator Fisher, I don't have the answer to your question. I can tell you that we all know that this occurs 3 or 4 times a year in terms of sudden death on an average, that we know what diseases are related to those. We also know some of the conditions that precursors of musculoskeletal injury, certain muscular abnormalities, certain neurological abnormalities, Marfan's disease. I think that the bill, in my opinion, not an OHSU's opinion, my own opinion, is tailored in a way that it should bring us up to a national standard. That the protocol that we would have in place in the state of Oregon, should this bill become law, would match and fulfill the recommendations by the American Heart Association.
Further questions, Senator Decker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two questions and a comment. The first question, and I'm trying to weigh the dash four, which are the chiropractor question. What is your opinion, Doctor, in respect to, and you touched upon it, cardiovascular, a chiropractor's ability to detect cardiovascular, and I guess adding on to that, do you support the Dash 4 amendments and having a chiropractor do these exams?
Well, I'm a realist. I mean, if my back's bothering me, I might go to a chiropractor. In all honesty, my knowledge of the chiropractic curriculum is that it does not really emphasize modern cardiovascular principles of risk and physical diagnosis. That doesn't mean that a well-meaning chiropractor couldn't encompass that knowledge if given a guideline and some educational material. And my own feeling is that this bill is important enough that it shouldn't stumble over the issue of whether a group of healthcare professionals, and chiropractors are healthcare professionals, feel excluded from participation. I think the more proactive stance would be to include some aspect of making sure that those individuals are brought up to speed on the cardiovascular risk factors and their detection, which I think is not a difficult educational task, and that they understand that a referral to a physician would be necessary if one of those risk factors arose during the physical examination or the history. I hope that answers your question, Senator Decker.
Senator Fisher.
Yeah, I'm curious now. You say you don't have the tools to find out this information now about accidents that have happened in the past or injuries that have happened in the past. You say you don't have the tools to do that. Why? What kind of tools does it take? I mean, if everybody's interested, we have only 3 deaths. I'd think it would. How hard is it to find out when somebody had a physical, whether it was a proper physical, whether it showed up anything? When was the follow-up? These people were playing. Did they had a physical in 2 years and they were playing anyway? Or I just have a problem. I don't see one thing in here that tells you anything that you have a right or any authority to go get any more information than you had before in this bill. Not answering that.
I think inherent in the involvement of a medical screening program is the reporting and record keeping associated with that medical screening program. I can only tell you that my own knowledge of the two circumstances that I talked about is not personal, because I never took care of those children, but reflects what was reported in the newspaper based on interviews of the families and the physicians that had. I'm not aware that there is specific autopsy data that was available in those circumstances, and that, of course, is something that I think would be beyond the scope of a bill like this in terms of a mandatory autopsy. I think that coming up to a national standard of screening would bring out the incidence of those diseases that place patients at risk. And I think it would be quite clear that if a patient had been identified by record as a function of this process who died suddenly, that we would be able to match the name and birth date to the medical record that would be on file with the school district.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
Yeah, I just have to say, I don't see anything in this bill directs the keeping of any statistics or the reporting of this to any other further place or anything like that. It's just piling it onto the school. I'm sorry, I'm trying to make it easy. What statistics do we have then from other states? Have they gone around and done anything, or they just put this jolly well into effect and saying it? How do our three deaths compare for the amount of people we have playing sports in our state compared to other people that have been using a standard form and have all these other things? Have they done away? Are they not having any deaths at all or any serious injuries?
I don't have that information.
Try not to make a big point of it, but all I'm saying is do is take it by faith. We're coming here and we're telling you we can do all these things, but I don't know or have any way of even figuring it out. And now when you start talking about keeping statistics and screening and all this kind of stuff, if you're going to heap a lot of stuff on our schools and all the records and stuff they're going to have to do to report those things, that certainly doesn't sound like something cheap and easy to put into effect.
I think that it would be obvious that the physician would have a record of his examination of the patient, and the school would have a record on file of the protocol and the forms. That's the only degree of record keeping that I think would be mandated within the bill, but that would certainly be more than what we have now.
And you're telling me that a doctor would perform an examination like this on a kid and not keep a record of it?
Would, in fact, if the doctor...
I mean, now?
Yeah. Well, but we're dealing with the issue is that there isn't a formal recommendation that children, in fact, need to see a doctor. And I think that's the problem, that there are many districts in which we do better than that and other districts in which we don't have any regulation or any recommendation whatsoever. I can also tell you that within the American Heart Association's document, there are some states like Rhode Island, which is referenced, and Georgia, which is referenced, that have used this issue as a mechanism of starting an in-state database that tracks injuries as well as mortality. That obviously could be something that could also be inserted in this bill as an amendment, that OMA or some other organization or the Department of Education could develop a database to track this information.
Senator,
there's a Dr. Freeman, apparently here, Mr. Chair, that apparently wants to testify in favor of Measure 4, and it indicates that he may be able to answer some questions. Could we hear Mr. Freeman? Or Dr. Freeman?
Dr. Freeman?
We also have another gentleman here.
Yes. Would you identify yourself for the
record? Yes, I'm Thad Stanford. I'm an orthopedist here in Salem. I chair the Oregon School Activities and OMA Committee on the Medical Aspects Board. I also am the chair of the National High School Federation Sports Medical Advisory Committee. And I know you got this document that we provided answering the questions about some of the local state fatalities that we had, and part I think of that report that's important is that some of these schools are using the older form, and we have suggested the newer form, and now unfortunately after they've had the tragedies, they are using the appropriate form and beginning to refer more young people for cardiac exams. We have many schools that are doing annual exams, and the reason we feel that having an exam every other year can be effective is if it's done by the appropriate people and with using the appropriate form, that we feel it's not necessary to do them annually. And we know that relieves a lot of the burden in the smaller schools, some of which are doing annual exams now. Again, the amendment that's been put forward in the interim, if there is a significant health problem, that young person ought to be evaluated, even if it's only been a few months. That person ought to be evaluated again before he or she participates. The problem nationally is that there is a reporting service from North Carolina. Dr. Fred Mueller, who indeed comes to the national meetings, has done an excellent job of keeping statistics. The problem is the underreporting of statistics. Dr. Mueller, who works out of North Carolina, has been doing this for some years, and his information is very important in the requirement for various rules in sports, and indeed has affected this particular issue of pre-participation physical examination. The underreporting, unfortunately, that occurs is partially because of some areas are just simply not aware of reporting, and unfortunately, the attorneys, whichever side they're on, very often say, don't talk about this, and so we do have some difficulty in reporting. But Senator Fisher, I can say that Dr. Mueller's statistics have been extremely helpful. We have a significant number of young people who are being catastrophically affected by sports, some direct, such as the quadriplegic with the neck and football, some indirect, such as the heart conditions, very often, incidentally, in basketball, where they just have either a myopathy problem or indeed sometimes a rhythm problem that's never been recognized. But we know that by having the appropriate form and the appropriate evaluation, that we can significantly affect that number. We don't think we can stop every young person from having an unfortunate catastrophic problem, but we do feel that it's something that, again, we've consulted and used the American Heart Association dictates. We would like to be able to prevent every injury that ever occurred, but we can't do that. We want sports to be safe, and we feel that this is a step forward. And that's all I'll comment on right now. If anybody has any questions, I'd be glad to.
Mr. Chair, just one comment here.
Senator Fisher.
I think this is the piece you're referring to here, AHA Medical Scientific Statements. Is that the letter you're referring to, or that you furnished us, or is it something else?
No, this is the January 30 letter I sent to Chairman Starr, Senator Fisher.
Down?
Yeah, that's it.
Down at the bottom.
January 30 letter didn't make it to all the committee members.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm not sure why. I don't have it in my bill file either. Committee administrator did have a copy.
Well, I faxed it and I delivered it both, so maybe I did too much.
Well, the reason I wanted in this AHA, Mr. Chair, and medical scientific statements, it speaks in here to the relative ratio of this type of incident that results in death. This is a statement they make there. It says, considering such a relatively low prevalence, the heightened awareness and intense interest in a sudden death in athletes often fueled by the news media are perhaps disproportionate to its actual numerical impact as a public health problem. And it indicates here that it's appears to be in the range of approximately 1 to 100,000 to 1 to 300,000 in the high school age, disproportionately higher in males. But then it gets to older athletes, and joggers have a 1 to 15,000 ratio. It looks like we want to save some people. We're going to get after our joggers.
Senator Starr and Senator Fisher, we do have 6.5 million athletes under the National Federation, so even one of the 300,000 would be, in my mind, a significant number.
Yeah, well, it says there are 4 million competitive high school age athletes here, grades 9 through 12, and around 500,000 in the college, and it says that doesn't include an unspecified number of youth middle school and master's level competitors for which the reliable number is not available, so that really wouldn't concern any of the intramural programs, I'm guessing, or playground activities and things like that.
The exposure would be significantly higher, yes.
The thing that I believe needs to be pointed out that we're not just dealing with catastrophic, but with preventable issues of physical health that are not catastrophic as well, and those would be much more prevalent than the catastrophic.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess this is still what just boggles my mind in the whole thing, that somebody can be involved for 15 or 16 years in sports medicine some way or another and not be able to say that, in my expert opinion, which I would consider 16 years in the field ought to make someone fairly much of an expert, either that or they're in the wrong field for too long. They ought to be able to say, I believe that we could avoid or help out in at least 5% of the cases of knee injury or that kind of thing. And we're not getting any indication whatsoever of anybody even willing to say we can save 1 in 100,000 or something here. I mean, that's the right where I stand, and then we're having these things alluded to, and I'm saying what's coming with the next bill that the schools are going to have to do now that we've already got this information, or they got to send it to a clearinghouse, and then we've got to budget for all of the stuff that it goes with it, or it just causes me a little bit of heartburn here to start throwing rules and regulations out to our schools. And, they claim they're as hard put as they are, but we don't really have anything to go on, and I just can't hardly believe how that can happen.
Because
again, here, if this fell in Beaverton, and it says here he had an examination in the ninth grade that detected his condition, and, you know, there he had his condition detected, and somebody doesn't follow through, what good does it do to give them a fancier physical and they don't follow through?
Well, if we had been following up there, there's at least the possibility that he might have been saved. Senator Castillo.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for your expert testimony on this bill here.
There's a ninth grade. There's a ninth grade and still happens.
I know we're taking up each one of these amendments, and we haven't gotten to one, the dash two, which is from the OMA about... I know that this bill proposes us using this form that you and others have recommended. Have you seen the OMA's amendment to the bill that says that protocol be used in addition to the form, and that it directs the State Board of Education to prescribe penalties for violating the bill?
I just this moment saw it. I thought that they were just calling it the protocol instead of the form.
It says prescribes that protocol be used in addition to the form is what the summary says. I don't know. Maybe that is that.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with how that came forward because I wasn't involved with that. I'm sorry. Somebody might be able to answer that for you.
Okay. I see we do have the OMA representative here, so I guess we'll hear from him about what they're hoping to accomplish with their amendment on here. But I just was wondering if you had seen it and what your thoughts were about the amendment since we have you before us.
Senator, I have this this fax survey that we did. I can give it to Jen and pass it out. This, I think, sheds some light on where we are right now with the physical.
We'd appreciate that. Okay. Senator Perioli had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, Mr. Chairman, it's a couple of comments. I shared Senator Fisher's frustration about the documentation issue. I think all legislators get a report on children's fatalities and mortality in Oregon. Children die in a disproportionate number of automobile accidents, especially alcohol-related, where the driver's been drinking. They suffer disproportionate suicide rates. There's a number of issues related to health of young people. Those reports are compiled by Oregon Health Sciences University and annually published, but I do not believe they go to the depth of the level of fatalities related to sports, school sports, because it is such an anomaly in the statistical picture. But I think Senator Fisher is really trying to get at, you know, why are we doing this if the system isn't broken, if all schools require a physical annually to participate in sports? Why are we putting it in statute? And I think the reason is one that we might have hopped over. This requires a physical every other year, which is a significant savings over what we're doing currently, because many of these districts require an annual physical. So that'll be very helpful. And then the issue of screening is almost ancillary to that. It's an important thing, but the cardiovascular screening may not be the most important thing. The most important thing to me is that what we've been doing is a matter of circumstance driven by the insurance industry. You can't get an insurance policy unless you've had the physical. Should be in statute, and we ought to be able to allow the institutions to do it every other year than every year, because that would be a savings to the medical community and to the institution. So I think there's a good reason to do this and put it in statute, despite the fact that we can't answer the statistical questions that I think are so reasonable. But I guess I'd refer my colleagues to look at the annual mortality report for children at risk. It has more categories. By the time you finish reading it, you'll have to take a break. Pretty sad. Some of the issues are abuse issues. Some of them are just as simple as buckling up in an approved child care seat. Others are much more indicative of social problems in Oregon, including suicide, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, etc. But all that notwithstanding, I think there's a fiscally conservative reason to do this bill, and that's because we can have our physicals done every other year. I understand the reason to do the protocol instead of the form. That seems to be a good recommendation. I appreciate the testimony of the sports medicine community that says there's no reason to exclude chiropractors, because I believe there's a very small number of chiropractors that would do this. They do it as a voluntary, on a voluntary basis. They're fully qualified, I think, as the doctor will testify. So, Mr. Chairman, I think that we really don't need to get bogged down in the statistical issues, because there's other good reasons to do this, but I think it's a real clear message that goes forth in the committee, if I may paraphrase Senator Fisher, when a senator asks a question, he wants an answer. And if the statistics aren't available this time around, boy, they should be available by the time next time, whatever next time is around. So I'm hoping this maybe makes reporting easier to capture. But I just urge the committee to move the bill forward, adopt the dash twos, or is that right? Dash twos?
Dash ones.
And then
didn't we adopt the dash ones?
We dashed the dash ones, and now we're looking at the dash twos. Is that what's under consideration? And then I hope we move to dash fours and adopt those as well.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Fisher,
and comment and a bit of rebuttal here to my good friend from across the mountains and a little bit this side of the mountains. It's not taking and changing the word form for the word protocol. It's adding "and protocol" after the word form. So I too would, not being medically oriented to that extent, would want to know what that "and protocol" adds or detracts or substitutes or puts in place. Plus, I think we have a gentleman here still that wished to try to answer some of the questions I had about statistics, hopefully. And could we give him a shot at that before we go further?
We could do that. We have, in addition, a recent handout that indicates the practice of physical exams now in practice in schools of Oregon.
I had received that.
And I think that's significant.
Doctor, I didn't get your name.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Michael Freeman.
Michael, you were to testify on one of the amendments, or were you here for other?
Well, I was asked to testify about one of the amendments regarding the chiropractic inclusion, but have kind of been drawn into this. I am a clinical assistant professor at Oregon Health Sciences University, where I teach a course in trauma epidemiology, or the incidence of traumatic injuries, at the university and Department of Public Health and Preventive Medicine. So I was kind of fidgeting in my seat as Senator Fisher was talking about some of the problems with trying to grasp.
Mr. Chair, I thank him for prompting me with the note, so thank you very much.
Thank you. The difficulty is that we have a lot of traumatically related injuries that occur to children, school-age children, that are unpredictable, and they're not going to be picked up by a screening. And I think maybe that is your concern, Senator Fisher, and that is that the nature of trauma is that it's somewhat arbitrary. Obviously, you're not going to be traumatically injured in a sport if you don't participate in the sport. But whether somebody breaks their neck because they were struck in a funny way while playing football, or they tear their knee out because they were struck in a funny way while playing a game of basketball, is somewhat of a random event. And that in itself is not going to be prevented by screenings. That's very clear. However, the doctor who spoke before me, the professor from pediatric, and I didn't catch his name, from the Department of Pediatrics, made a good point. And there are certain conditions that will make kids more likely to have these kinds of injuries. Marfan's, which is a connective tissue disorder, or finding that there is a problem with the heart. The kind of injuries that we hear about that are really horrifying, the cervical spine injuries where kids are paralyzed, are probably not going to be detected because those would require an x-ray. Those are not going to be found on a standard evaluation. However, part of what a physician does, any kind of physician, a chiropractic physician or a primary care physician or an orthopedist, is going to be to take a history from the child and find out if they do have a repeat history of problems. And certainly that can help identify somebody who is highly at risk. And I think that I think overall that this is a very good idea to have some kind of screening in which we can then do some surveillance from an epidemiologic perspective and find out what the incidence of these injuries are and find out if there are things that are going to predict that for us in this particular state. And so my position is that this is a good idea, that maybe tinkering around with it a little bit might help us have some good information that in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years we can say something about the kind of injuries that are taking place and how we can best prevent them, and whether screening for musculoskeletal conditions and cardiovascular problems is going to be the best way to prevent them. But I can't say anything about the expense and the difficulty with dealing with this kind of implementation. However, I can say that some implementation is probably going to prevent some injuries and perhaps some fatalities that would not have occurred. And I think when we're talking about our kids, that makes pretty good sense. Again, I can be fiscally liberal because I'm not the one that has to figure out the costs on this. So that's my perspective from that particular point of view. I was also going to comment about the Dash 4 amendment, because in addition to my training as an epidemiologist, I am also trained as a chiropractic physician originally, and I'm currently completing my medical degree. I'm a third-year student. I have a good idea of the training between the two schools, and also being up at Oregon Health Sciences University and familiar with the curriculum there. Chiropractors in their four-year curriculum do get some good training in physical diagnosis on cardiovascular disorders, certainly not to the extent that is done up at Oregon Health Sciences University. But I think that the ideas that the doctor talked about earlier from OHSU, that there is a certain protocol that would be that the all practitioners would be alerted to, would be a very good idea. And I think that the Chiropractic Association would be more than happy to work with the OMA or any other group that wanted to implement those kinds of standards and protocols.
You raise another issue that we have before us, and that is adding the word protocol, form and protocol. There's quite a different usage there. and I think they're both important personally. How do you respond to that question that was raised?
The form being physically a form that would be filled out.
Yes.
Well, that would be your surveillance. And that would be great from my perspective as a scientist. I like to see those forms. So I think that would be a good addition. I think that some kind of protocol does need to be implemented, because when you're talking about a wide variety of practitioners who would be allowed to perform these exams, and frankly, the bill as it reads right now includes every practitioner but chiropractors, then I think that you do have to have some kind of protocol as to what is going to be evaluated for each examination. I think that that's a perfectly reasonable approach.
Thank you, Senator Fisher.
Just one further announcement on there, and he mentioned Marfan's disease and stuff. Also on that form, I noticed that if you're over 6 foot tall and outreach your height, that's kind of you have to go through all this special testing and everything, and I think that's discrimination. I outreach my height by 3 inches, and I'm well over 6 feet.
Not for those of us who are 5'8", though. I mean, we're okay with that.
But anyway, protocol. Continue on with that a little bit. Help me out with that protocol. Does that mean then that refers to what happens to that form after, or what happens to those decisions after the form has been filled out?
Is that
what protocol is?
Well, from my perspective, I think that the form, there has to be some protocol filled associated with how the form is handled, who gets the form, and then how the results of the information are tabulated. And that could be easily managed through the Department of Public Health or the Oregon Health Division up at OHSU.
Mr. Chair, basically measured Amendment number 2 would then require the sending in of all this information, the collecting of it someplace, somebody basically that would have to collect that information, store it, work on it. So we're not talking about pennies or peanuts here. We're getting into some pretty heavy expenses, not only on the maybe physicians or the schools, but on somebody that's collecting this thing. So we may be in putting protocol in there going way, way, way beyond where this bill goes right now.
Okay. Let's see if we have another.
Mr. Chair, Jim Anderson, Oregon Medical Association. We are responsible, and I take full blame or guilt for putting in the word protocol, but we think it needs to be there along with the form, Senator Fisher. The simple definition that we can bring forward is a protocol is a list of specific items of conditions and history to be followed and included in the exam when the exam is given. Now, whether or not that creates a financial burden as far as collection of the data, that's yet to be seen. My recommendation, and it stands simply as something for the committee to further consider, whether or not, Mr. Chair, you plan on acting on this bill today, is could there be, to satisfy Senator Fisher and some of the other questions that have been brought forward, could it be that a sunset could be put on this bill, a 2 or 4 year sunset? Bring it back to the next legislative body, or 1 4 years from now. See if this is working. See what kind of expenses are there, what kind of data has been accrued as to actual physicals taken, actual injuries incurred. Heaven forbid a death may happen, but let's see if there has been any substantiated evidence brought forward by the exams at the time they were given.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Deckard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim, just one quick question. And Dr. Freeman, thank you. That helped me a bunch on the dash four considerably.
Great, thank you.
A thought. I read nowhere in protocol any expense incurred. If you just follow the definition that you provided, Jim, I read that it provides a protocol to follow without any bureaucratic, at least in the definition of protocol, nowhere could I find that. The only problem I have, and I'm a yes throughout now, except for on the dash 2 is the penalty language. And I just have an issue with creating a penalty to a school district when most seem to be making a good faith effort by the data OSAA provided, seem to be making an effort to do it. I just hate to throw a penalty in there.
Well, if the, Mr. Chair, Senator Deckert, first of all, on protocol, you're exactly right. If you have a form, you have to have something on that form. And that's what the protocol would establish.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the penalty section, we brought that forward simply, and I think I stated it before in the testimony when the bill was first heard, was that the bill had no teeth. If a school district decided not to do this, what is the recourse? It would be no more than it is today, and we do have school districts that choose not to do this. So either we pass the bill and say all school districts will, and here's the consequence if it doesn't happen, or we let it go as it is today. And I don't think it's the mood of the committee to do that. Last time, I have to possibly publicly apologize to him, but Greg McMurdo, I blindsided him and asked the committee if he wanted to come forward and address the committee. As far as the penalty section, we're not tied into this penalty language. If you can find something else that would be more acceptable, that would be acceptable with us. But we're simply suggesting that there needs to be some teeth in the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
I guess, have a hard time. This form gets pretty specific. You get your height and weight. Now, are you going to have to spell out a protocol that a guy has to take a tape measure or walk under some kind of a swinging arm or something, you know, all this kind of stuff? Or, I mean, is standard weight and height type thing that anybody that fills this out, I would think, or looks at this form that's so forth here, you got, to my way of thinking, the protocol right on that form. What you're saying is, so why do we need the word protocol in there when, you know, what are you going to do here if you stand facing the examiner? You're going to just stand there and look each other in the eye, or are you going to go over to do what it says to check for all this joints, habitus, all this good stuff here that I have a hard time pronouncing? Or are you, do you have to have something else do there that he's got to sit there and he's got to fill out all this other form and everything that goes along with how he did it and when he did it, and or are you going to take the physician's word for it, or how does protocol help us here when we've got, it looks to me like the protocol right on the form already. He's got to put down if medical, if his appearance is normal, or he's got to initial it. If it's abnormal, he's got to put findings, initial it. How much more protocol is there?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Fisher, protocol is as far as you want to take it. I mean, if you want to get the State Board of Education together with the OMA to set a protocol, this is simply, there's a doctor handing a non-doctor something that it's very difficult to understand.
I'm sorry. The third page.
Is that a
part of the record?
The third page. The third page that was handed out, which was part of what OSA dealt with, was called the suggest. Dr. David Son from Oregon Health Sciences University. The page that says suggested exam protocol for the physician does nothing more than specifically guide the physician as to how to make some of these observations. Most of them are musculoskeletal, certain positions that are useful for bringing out musculoskeletal abnormalities. There's a specific section on the cardiovascular examination describing what should be listened for, suggesting it be done in a room that's quiet, you're not in the middle of a gymnasium with a ball game going on, that femoral pulses as well as axillary pulses. So the protocol is a guideline for the use of the physician in terms of how to fill out the form in a comprehensive manner. That's all that we had included with OSAA as the recommended protocol. I hope that answers one of the questions.
Mr. Chair, if I could.
Senator Fisher.
Isn't that all on here now?
It should have been the third page, and it says protocol. Now, as is stated, one could also provide a page that enhanced the history part of it,
as it relates to specific family conditions or others. You know, I think that protocol is really the word protocol. I do not disagree to the inclusion of it as a separate word in the bill. The word protocol just says that there is a surrounding the forms, there is a description of the way that the forms are supposed to be used, and is really a guideline for the physician who's fulfilling this requirement.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I would submit that the protocol is here. Mm-hmm.
It's not a part of the form. I believe you're correct. It's not a part of the form. But directions for how you might proceed in the examination and filling out the form, I believe we are.
Okay, then will that you have protocol specifically refer to this protocol?
Can you help us to answer that?
Senator Fisher, I missed your question.
Well, it's got right here with it all stapled together with the form. The thing that says protocol, suggested exam protocol, is that what you're referring to?
Yes, it is.
This particular one, not an additional one?
Whatever, Mr. Chair, Senator Fisher, whatever protocol is decided upon through this state process, the Board of Education and the Oregon Medical Association, or whoever is asked to come forward in conjunction with the State Board of Education to develop the piece you see, which is a protocol of things that will be examined or observed by the person giving the physical examination. You have the form to fill out, but you have to have something such as the protocol as guideline. And that's simply all the protocol is giving you.
And, Mr. Chair, that's exactly what I'm saying. Is this the protocol that we're looking here and expecting, or is there going to be a specific different protocol? I mean, we were handed this, and basically this is said, this is what we want.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fisher, I think that's what you're going to have, is what you have in front of you. There will be nothing else unless the day comes when the protocol needs to be changed.
Senator Castillo.
Thank you. I was trying to get clarification on that too. So basically then what you're suggesting is that we do have the protocol in here with what's being proposed in this bill with the form and the packet that would be used. You just wanted to make sure that that was also part of the statute that the board protocol is in there as part of what we're doing.
And to be made clear, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Further, you made clear to us just now that this is by rule, administrative rule of the State Board of Education, and that they might change the protocol as necessary. Is that my correct in that understanding? Line 9 of the bill?
Yeah, that's the way I read it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, I don't want to dampen the enthusiasm for discussion of this bill, but I would like to move it. I think that it is an important little bill. We have the bill before us. We have the Dash 1 amendments approved. I would like very much to move the Dash 2 amendments.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Senator Farioli has moved the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 160. Any discussion, further discussion?
Mr. Chair, with due respect, at this point in time, I'm not prepared to support it. We've already had objections made. We wondered about penalties, and we have no knowledge of what the penalties are going to do. We don't know that this protocol is the very one they're talking about, or whether the Board of Education is going to get together and make another big, healthy protocol and all this kind of stuff. I don't have any support from my school district to do this at all. I'm totally disappointed that we can't deal with the problem in a way that I feel is halfway businesslike. I would not run my business like this in any way, shape, or form. I wouldn't buy an automobile on this kind of information.
The
really, I appreciate your feelings and your position on the bill, Senator Fischer.
I apologize, because I'd like to be supporting you, and I'd like to be supporting them. If there's any way that we can work with our kids, but I don't see this stuff as this bill requiring that the information go to any good purpose, and it's going to be left up to somebody's whim of whether they've got any money to do anything with the information we find. It's just not the way to do things. This is really important. We're going to hit this all the way through, and that information is going to be taken to a center where they can examine it and where they can make sure that they're taking care of our kids in the way they ought to be taken care of. And if it doesn't do that, I'm not ready to die.
I appreciate very much, Senator Fischer. I will do you object to the moving of the amendment? Are you... do we need to make a roll call to move the dash two amendments?
Well, I don't particularly support this particular amendment, no.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Deggert.
Thank you. Just really briefly, I am uncomfortable with the dash two because of the penalty language in there. Since many of the faces that are here will be at the rulemaking when they adopt the penalties, I would support the dash two and just hope that the penalties, any penalties to the school district, are commensurate with the pretty minor infraction that I think would be transgressed if a school district didn't do the physical. So I will support it, but just hope that in the rulemaking process that that's taken into account.
Appreciate that. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Deckard?
Yes.
Senator Ferriello?
Yes.
Senator Fisher?
No.
Senator Warfield?
Aye.
Senator Castillo?
Aye.
Chair Starr?
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the dash two amendments are moved to the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the dash four.
Senator Ferrioli has moved the dash four amendments to Senate Bill 160. Further discussion? Any opposition? Not. We've moved the dash four amendments to Senate Bill 160. Now we have the bill as amended before us.
Mr. Chairman, I move the bill as amended before us to the full floor with a UCAS recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli moves the bill as amended to the floor with a UCAS recommendation. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
I just have one comment. I would hope this is going to take a while to get over and be worked on in the House. I would hope that in the meantime, before that happens, that something could be done to at least find these three particular cases that are hearkened to and go back and research those things out and have some actual statistics of whether the one being a freshman, he had a physical and died apparently on the heels of the physical. The other had a physical and disregarded information they got, according to what we have. The other one had a physical almost within the two-year framework. I would like to have at least some knowledge of on those three cases, and if that can't be gotten in 3 or 4 weeks that it takes to get this thing through the process, I think that something is wrong. But I would like at least to have that information and go into the record when this thing goes through the House. And I don't see any reason why we couldn't.
Appreciate that. Further discussion? Not. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Deckard?
Yes.
Senator Ferriello?
Yes.
Senator Fisher?
No.
Senator Harkin?
Aye.
Senator Castillo?
Aye.
Chair Starr?
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, Senate Bill 160 has passed the floor with the UCAS recommendation.
Do you want Senator Courtney to carry it?
Yes, I think we'll let Senator Courtney hear the bill. He's
not here.
Not here. Besides,
Mr. Chair,
he should enjoy the opportunity. With that, we close the work session on Senate Bill 160 and open a public hearing.
public hearing on Senate Bill 258.
Dee Harnish is here. I'll look at the sign-up sheet.
All right. Randy Harnish from the State Department here to explain Senate Bill 258 to us.
So much stuff we don't need. Well, it's not that. I can get behind it, but we don't have any way of getting the statistics. We don't know if there's we won't be able to pass the bill down and you might be doing this. I don't know. What's it gonna come out?
Yes, please.
Good afternoon, Chair Starr, members of the committee. My name is Randy Harnish. I'm with the Oregon Department of Education. I'm here on behalf of Joanne Flint, who had planned to be here but was called away unexpectedly, and so I'll be presenting her testimony on Senate Bill 258. Senate Bill 258 would authorize the State Board of Education to develop standards for private alternative education programs and would strengthen the current required evaluation for both public and private alternative education programs. Oregon school districts currently have the statutory authority to develop and offer alternative education programs to meet students' educational needs and interests. The alternative education programs can be either publicly developed as a part of the school district or can be private alternative programs that register with the Department of Education and then have the ability to contract to provide those services with school districts. The existing registration process was designed to fit within the statutory language in ORS 336.631 and 635 and Oregon Administrative Rule 581.021-0072 was developed to implement that registration process. The process, as defined in rule, does not guarantee a quality program. It does provide the statutory basis for accountability through the contract between the school district and the private alternative provider. Because the private alternative education program registration is issued from a state agency, school districts and the public attribute or may attribute to that registration process a higher level assurance of quality than actually can be by definition provided under that the registration process. Therefore, the registration process can be manipulated to create an aura of credibility because of or through the registration. The amendments that are proposed in Senate Bill 258 would address this situation in three different ways. First of all, it would authorize the State Board of Education to establish standards for private alternative education programs that would guarantee or ensure a safe environment and an effective instructional program. The bill would direct the State Board of Education to develop a registration process that includes the standards that may be developed by the State Board of Education under the previous section. And it would strengthen the existing requirement for annual evaluation of alternative programs by specifying certain things that need to be included in that annual review. In implementing these amendments, the Department of Education, at the direction of the State Board, proposes to bring together a committee representing private alternative education providers, school districts, parents, students, and the department staff to develop draft standards for the private alternative education programs, to review the existing registration process, and to recommend revisions to that registration process. The proposed standards and any revisions to the registration would be made available for public review through a series of regional meetings and made posted on our website for comment. Following that comment and review, the registration and standards would be taken to the State Board of Education for formal adoption, and the department upon that adoption would be poised to prepare and present technical assistance on those standards to the school districts and to the current list of private alternative providers. I'd be happy to answer any questions about the
questions.
I have a question as regards the type of schools we're looking at here. I believe, to my knowledge, there's those that are providing education opportunities for students who have dropped out of school, or in Portland, for instance, there's some contract alternative opportunity out in my area for dealing with severely disabled learners. Are there other examples that...
Chair Starr, the language in the law authorizes the development of alternative programs to meet a student's educational needs and interests. And we have, in our list of registered programs, a wide range of programs. Predominantly, they are programs that are designed to reach those at-risk students, but that's certainly not the only type of program. There are, for example, we have programs that are designed to meet students' needs who may be at the other end of the spectrum, students who are at risk for a different set of reasons, you know, the talented and gifted type programs. Also programs that are designed to meet a very narrow, focused area of instruction, for example, difficulties in reading. So that the private alternative programs run the gamut.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
Does this only refer to alternate schools that are wanting to contract and initiating a contract with the state school system?
Chair Starr, Senator Fisher, that's true. The private alternative programs that would be addressed by this bill are those that choose to register with the department and therefore have the ability to contract with a school district. If an alternative program, a private school, existed out there that charged tuition for students to offer similar services on a tuition basis, this registration would not apply to them unless they chose to register and to take advantage of the ability to contract with districts.
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
Make sure and have it on the record that this bill does not affect in any way any religious private school?
No, absolutely not.
Or homeschool?
Or home. Not, no, homeschool.
Further questions? We have one other individual. Thank you, Randy.
Mr. Chair, I may actually be able to agree with you on this.
Kathy Osborne, yes, please. Thank you for signing up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kathy Osborne from the Juvenile Rights Project. For those of you who are not familiar with the Juvenile Rights Project, we are a nonprofit public interest law firm in Portland that provides direct representation of children both in delinquency, dependency, and Measure 11 cases in Multnomah County and now in also Clatsop County. We also provide advocacy work on behalf of children throughout the state of Oregon. I'm speaking today in support of Senate Bill 258. I've worked for the Juvenile Rights Project for more than 10 years. I'm right now the senior delinquency attorney at the Juvenile Rights Project. And it's true that most of the kids that I come in contact with, what we would call the at-risk kids, attend alternative programs. And I can tell you from visiting alternative programs around the city of Portland, they vary quite dramatically in quality.